What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Friday, May 16th, 2025. It has been a great week here in South Florida. I mean, I know I had my poker tournament on Tuesday. The result wasn't great, but a lot of you came out yet again, and I look forward to seeing you in June, which is, heck, just a couple of weeks away, a little bit more than 2 weeks away. But we're not there yet. We've had a great week with the Florida Panthers. Thankfully, we had a great week with the Florida Panthers. The Panthers are alive and well, and they are carrying us into the summer like they have done the past 2 years. And I know, I'm just giving you a heads up. If you tuned in yesterday, thank you. You probably know where I'm going today, and I'm not just saying physically going. You know where I'm going show-wise today. You could probably tell with my voice right now, not only am I fired up for the game tonight, I believe the Florida Panthers end the Maple Leaf season this evening. Normally, when I feel very strongly about something, and I come here on the show and tell everybody, it goes the other way. Unfortunately, it does. I have a lot of strong opinions. I don't share them all. But when I do here on the show, they just never seem to work out. I don't know why. I'm not like not going to do it because of that. I have a strong feeling the Panthers win tonight. Vegas has a strong feeling the Panthers win tonight. Hollywood, Florida has a strong feeling the Panthers win tonight. And most of the fans in Sunrise this evening have a strong feeling the Panthers will win tonight. Do you get the sense I feel the Panthers will win tonight? They'll move on to take on the Carolina Hurricanes yet again. This happened 2 years ago in the Eastern Conference Final. I do not want to go to Toronto on Sunday. If I know the Panthers are going to win a Game 7, cool. But we obviously don't know that. What I can tell you is, no matter what happens, enjoy what we're getting right now. Right now, the Florida Panthers are an organization that has not only built something, that something is special. They've been to the Stanley Cup Final 2 consecutive seasons. They're trying to get there for the 3rd consecutive season. Remember what the Miami Heat did with the Big Three? That entire era, we enjoyed the heck out of it. We appreciated it because this stuff does not last forever. It's not like the Panthers are going to be going to the Stanley Cup Final for 15 consecutive years. I mean, that would be amazing, but let's be real. We're in the middle of something special right now. Enjoy the heck out of it. Go to these games. Watch the games. These are games and times and memories that will live with us forever. 20 or 30 years from now, we will look back at these times. You have kids, they're young, let them enjoy these times so in 20, 30, 40 years from now, they remember it. Do you think in 20 years from now or 10 years from now, we're going to be talking about the Panthers' 3rd straight Eastern Conference Final? I told you I'm already in the mood that they beat the Leafs, but they haven't yet. I'll be there tonight. I just have a good feeling about it, in case you couldn't tell. I'm going to go on my American Airlines app this evening, and I'm going to cancel my flight to Toronto that I've got set up for Sunday morning. Instead, I will use another flight that I have booked, and that is for tomorrow night, not to Canada, to Colombia! Much better. I would much rather be in Medellin tomorrow night than going to bed in Miami and going to the airport Sunday morning to go to Toronto. So I hope I'm in Medellin tomorrow night. I hope tomorrow night I get to see some of my friends. Girls, 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 girls. And for the entire weekend, of course. This will be a hockey hour for the most part. Not the entire hour, because I got some really good, tasty stuff at the end. The Marlins, they were off last night anyway, so there's no baseball to talk about. I think the only baseball conversation would be about former MLB All-Star Rafael Furcal. He actually played for the Marlins for like 3 seconds, I believe, at the end of his career. Everybody kind of played for 5 months with the Marlins at the end of their career if they lived in South Florida. Polanco did it. Furcal did it. There was a story that came out yesterday about Rafael Furcal getting arrested or turning himself in Broward County. And the charge was something with throwing a deadly missile or using a weapon. And people didn't know the details, so they run with, oh, Furcal had a missile. He threw a missile at somebody. Well, anybody who reported that thinking it was an actual missile, they're a moron because they don't understand how some charges are read. If you throw anything, if you throw a book, a hardcover book at somebody, and it causes injury, that goes down as a deadly missile because you're using the hardcover book as a missile. So, of course, I know it's not a missile. He didn't get something off of a tank and throw it at someone. I went to get the details, and this happened in South Florida. Otherwise, I wouldn't be bringing it up. Rafael Furcal is accused of getting into an altercation, which actually turned physical, behind a Publix in Sunrise, Florida. He got mad at another driver. He wound up getting out of his pickup truck, picking up rocks. The rocks were the missile, and throwing rocks at this other person. He threw a bigger rock, allegedly, at this person, which caused them to start bleeding. Rafael Furcal, according to the documents I obtained, then ran away back to his truck when he saw the guy was bleeding. The alleged victim, the guy who was bleeding, I'm trying to just, you know, be like attorney here. That victim who was bleeding ran after Furcal and caught him. Maybe it was the freeze from Atlanta. I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty fast guy. He runs after Furcal and punches him. Furcal gets into his pickup truck and flees. And then they looked at the cameras. They got the plate. And they figured out that it was Rafael Furcal. And they notified him, I guess, and he went to the jail and turned himself in. Got out on bond. I didn't expect a former MLB All-Star to be throwing rocks at someone behind a Publix in Sunrise, but that happened. Because something always happens here in South Florida. Okay, I have a lot to get to this hour, but I can't get to any of it until the hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
Those of you who have tuned into this show for a long, long time, and I've been doing this for 17 plus years now, you know there's a few things I do here on this program. And one of them is I play some tunes, not like full songs, but I'll play some audio, not audio from a manager or a player, like sound, because I think that's boring. But I like to play a clip of a song or something. And I already have the Panthers beating the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I really do believe it happens tonight. I hope I'm not wrong about this, but I truly do believe it. So I started thinking to myself, all right, I was watching the game last night. Carolina beat the Washington Capitals. So now, yeah, the Panthers take on the Leafs tonight. But you know that James Taylor song? That's me already.
Till I'm gone to Carolina in my mind.
That's exactly what I'm already thinking. The Panthers and the Hurricanes. All the Panthers have to do is take care of the Leafs one of these next two games. I don't even think there's a second game. I believe they finish it off tonight. Toronto goes back home. The Panthers, they head to Carolina. They get on a plane and they go to Raleigh. I think that's what's going to happen. So I've already got that on my mind. And I don't know why anybody would think, oh, sure, yeah, anything could happen in a game. It's still the playoffs. You never know. But seeing what you've seen the past two games, does it look to you like the Leafs have any fight left in them? Wouldn't they have shown that a little bit in game five in their building? This series is like one of those boxing matches where the champion lets the contender throw their best shots early. You're watching the pay-per-view that you bought and spent like $400 on, whatever it costs now. Like, oh my gosh, look, the dog here. They might get the champ. Well, the champ lets the dog get tired. And if that underdog doesn't knock the champion out quickly, well, that champion is going to punch back, and that champion's going to go on, and they're going to win it. They'll win the match, and that's the Panthers. They'll win this series. There's too much, in my view, working against the Maple Leafs. They know they're cursed as a franchise. That's in their head. They're shook. And they're playing a team who's been to the Stanley Cup final two consecutive seasons and hoisted the Stanley Cup last year. And that team, the way the Panthers play with their heavy forecheck, it's just like body after body after body on you. And you saw in game five, the Leafs started to show some cracks. They looked totally spent. They were completely dominated. If I was doing this show in Toronto, I would tell you that the moment that will live on forever in this series, and I talked about this yesterday with Jovo when he came on the show, it's when Brad Marchand, against the Leafs, again, torments the Leafs. He scores that winner in overtime in game three. And that was it. Maybe you're saying, okay, well, look, Slater, I know you're excited. You've got the Panthers winning, but you're not taking the Leafs seriously enough. No, I am. I am. They're toast. Here's the thing, though. It doesn't matter how I take the Leafs. I'm not the one going out there on the ice and facing them. The Florida Panthers players, those are the ones who matter. And you saw what they've done to them the past two games. What I saw was a team that looked annoyed that they hadn't finished the Leafs off earlier. That this even got to a game six or would get to a game six. It looked to me like a team that wanted to play strictly and exactly to form, and they hadn't done that in the first three games, even though they won game three. They wanted to go out there and execute their game at the highest level. And that's what they did. They did it in game four. They did it in game five. And they really put it to the Leafs in five to make sure that they can close it out tonight and not get back on a plane to head to Canada. Since that Brad Marchand goal in overtime, the Panthers played their two best games. Bob had a shutout, should have been two shutouts, but they scored a meaningless goal with a minute left. Bob's been playing fantastic. And if the Panthers stay at this level, which I believe they will, again, you'll go back to that turning point where the Leafs could have been up 3-0, but instead they were only up 2-1, and now look what happened the next two games. I feel like, yeah, not only will the Panthers beat the Leafs, but we might be having some of you order championship DVDs with that Marchand highlight on it. Do they still make championship DVDs? Or do they make any DVDs? Remember those? There was Laserdisc for like 2 minutes, and then there were DVDs. I believe in the Florida Panthers. Paul Maurice, he's got everyone involved. It's not just the star players. Everybody is playing well. Every line is playing well. That should frighten the rest of the league. If the Maple Leafs win tonight somehow, I still think this Panthers group is too poised and too professional, and they're on such a mission that they would lose Game 7 in Toronto? No, I don't think that would happen. So even if they lose tonight and have to go back to Toronto, they'll beat the Leafs in 7. This Panthers team is not going to fold. They're way too good. And the level they're playing at right now, it's going to be very hard for another team to beat them. I mean, yeah, maybe one game in a series, maybe two, but to win 4 out of a possible 7? This group was built brilliantly by Bill Zito. They're expertly coached by Paul Maurice. They've got all-stars. They've got veterans. They got a great offense. They got great defense. And they have a great goaltender in Bob. And right now, Bob is in that zone. The Panthers and Leafs have turned into a rivalry. You just play each other so many times in important games, you become rivals. And right now, the Florida Panthers, they are showing that they truly are the defending Stanley Cup champions and that they are better than the Toronto Maple Leafs. Much better than the Leafs. Now, I know some of you, you want to hear a little bit more than just hockey talk this afternoon. And I feel you. I'm going to give you a little more than hockey talk because there's something that needs to be brought up. Fans in South Florida deserve something to be brought up. I've got it in my notes, and unless something changes in the next few minutes, I'm going to bring it to you in just a minute. And speaking of in just a minute from now, more money is going to be handed out at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood in their poker room because the Deep Stack Series, which is a series of tournaments, it started yesterday. It continues through the weekend and beyond. Hundreds of thousands of dollars will be up for grabs in the poker room during the Deep Stack Series happening right now at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. If you want to see the entire Deep Stack Series schedule and all the other great tournaments that they've got coming up, visit SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. That's SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. And then I hope to see you very soon at my table so I could take your chips in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. I see a lot of you on social media, South Florida sports fans, bringing something up, and I want to bring it up here because it deserves to be brought up. If you want to put out there a salty Jimmy Butler take, go for it. because it's deserved. Heck, look at former Miami Heat players on television, on social media. They're saying something. D. Wade, Udonis. Is this all a coincidence that big basketball voices are coming out and saying something about Jimmy Butler? Or did Pat Riley, did he order the code red where he calls up D. Wade, he texts him, he tells you, D, hey, you guys have big voices, go off on Jimmy. Either way, look at what Jimmy Butler did after Steph Curry went down. If you want to say something about him, hey, he ruined the Miami Heat season. Have at it. Say whatever you want. I got no problem with it. The Miami Heat franchise went down badly. Why? Because Jimmy Butler torpedoed their season. So if you want to celebrate Jimmy being out of it, go ahead. I think it's okay to do. Clay Ferrero from WPLG Local 10. I'm going to ask him that question. I know he's big into basketball. He's going to join me. We'll talk about that and many other things right after this. Here on this Friday, I was just thinking about it. I haven't spoken to Clay Ferrero from WPLG Local 10 in a while. I don't know what he was thinking, but this is the first Friday show I've had in about 4 weeks because I was in Spain and then had last Friday off. Clay, in that time period, were you involved maybe in something outside of a Publix with someone throwing rocks at you or anything like that, maybe like a former baseball player?
No, but I heard a reliable reporter reported something about that.
Yeah, I just didn't know maybe if you were involved, because I know you go, don't you go to Publix and get like their chicken tender sandwiches?
Yes, they're fantastic, but I also read Slater Scoops, and that's that was my only knowledge of the incident.
Well, now that we've done an advertisement for the Slater Scoop, I appreciate you coming on. You've already done
and
your
Publix
job.
And Publix subs.
That's right. So how you been? I mean, how you feeling? I think you got somebody new there doing sports as well. Somebody added to the team. You guys have been pretty busy. The Panthers are in action. What's been going on in your world?
Yeah, it's a time of transition, and for us, addition. It's a lot of fun. Her name's Casey Hintz, and she actually came here. Her last job was at Raleigh, and big into hockey. So if the Florida Panthers end up clenching this thing tonight, she may be going back to her old stomping grounds to cover the Eastern Conference Final.
Wait a minute, did I just hear if? Did you say if?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, no,
well,
no,
see,
no.
I am not gonna jinx things. I am not gonna. I'm not gonna put the car. I am not going to map out the parade route before the series is clinched.
I mean, come on, like if you've seen these last three games, you can't say if Clay.
I've also seen way too much playoff hockey, but also way too much sports in general to jump that far the other direction. I did think it was interesting what Paul Maurice said yesterday, that if you look at the analytics for these games, and he said they have their own in-house team, but by and large, the margin in game five was smaller than it was in the previous two games. And, you know, I don't know what to make of all of that. I do think, you know, Wohl has been fantastic in this series, and I feel like maybe that started to crack a little bit at the end of game five. And if the Panthers get a couple early, I do think this thing is over. But, you know, we've seen before that anything can happen.
Anything can happen, except tomorrow night I plan to go to Medellin instead of waiting around Sunday to go to Toronto, because there's no if here, Clay. This series is done and over with, and they're going to go to Carolina. Now, I've talked a lot of hockey. I want to ask you a basketball question. Is it okay in your mind for fans to be happy that Jimmy Butler's team is out of the playoffs?
Yes, absolutely. Why not? First off, I'm never one to tell fans like what to feel and what not to feel. But yeah, the way things ended here, absolutely. It did not end pretty. I think it's a complicated relationships start to finish a messy breakup, and people are allowed to feel however they want about how it ended and how the breakup went down. And you know, I think the one shame of Jimmy Butler's career, if he ultimately doesn't win a title, is he's a guy who was always about things other than the numbers and making winning plays and everything Eric Spoelstra was. So, like, it's hard if you have a guy who's all about winning plays to justify, for example, putting him in the Hall of Fame if he never actually won a championship, even as a number two option. So, you know, I think that the types of things that he brings to the game, or really brought to the game when he was in his prime, I think deserved recognition and deserved at least bringing home one championship. But on the other hand, man, it was ugly here at the end and a lot uglier than it had to be. And I don't blame Heat fans one bit for feeling however they want.
The way everything went down there with him and how he played once Steph went out, was that kind of expected by you? And how do you think the fans in Golden State felt?
Let's say I wasn't surprised. I think you always wonder, because of the things that we've seen with him over the years, that was he going to be able to dig in and find that extra gear? But based on what we'd seen over the last couple of years, he didn't have it anymore. And, you know, that doesn't mean that he's not a very, very good player that can contribute to a championship team. But it does mean that I don't think he's the guy that can be the number one offensive option when a Steph Curry goes out. And I am sure that there's probably some Warriors fans that remember 2023 Jimmy and were expecting that once Steph went down, that Jimmy was going to go nuclear like he did against Milwaukee. But, you know, I think Father Time catches up to all of us. And I think especially with the way the NBA has changed, how things are being officiated with some of the things that Jimmy used to do really well, driving into the lane and getting fouls called, they've changed how they're officiating a lot of that stuff. And look, for all of these reasons, it's why I did not think Pat Riley should have given Jimmy Butler the contract extension. It also, look, I'm sure it could have been handled better on all sides, but you know, in the end, no, I can't say I'm surprised that he wasn't able to elevate a team as a number one option, you know, especially playing against a team as good as Minnesota.
At what point, Clay, did it like get solidified to you where you thought this is the reason why Pat Riley shouldn't have given him that extension, that he did the right thing? Was it early? Was it now?
It was before the trade. It was well before that. I haven't seen the same level of explosiveness, and I do think that some of the things that he had been able to do in the past were, you know, let's say the Heat give up a 10-0 run and they go from up 4 to down 6. Well, you know, there were times when Jimmy Butler could just put his head down, get in the lane, get to the free throw line and stem the tide a little bit. Well, that's not how the league is officiating these guys anymore. You have to actually be attempting a shot and not just trying to draw a foul before they'll give you the benefit of the doubt on any sort of contact there. So it's like the things that he used to do were no longer officiated the way they had been in the past. And also, I think you did see a drop off, especially at the rim. The explosiveness just wasn't there. Again, doesn't mean he's not still a very, very good player. But in my mind, at his age, it's not a player that you give that max contract to.
One last question. Clay Ferreiro from WPLG Local 10 with us here on the Andy Slater Show. Pat Riley, I was surprised when he brought up how they tanked back in the day. Do you think they should have tanked there at the end, Clay? Because you saw they probably would have had that number one pick.
Well, in hindsight, absolutely. I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't remember in the moment how I really felt. I never felt like this team was going to go on any sort of significant run. I do think you could make the argument that the younger players could have benefited from having the playoff experience they did. And yet, my goodness, when you get blasted by what, a combination of 92 points in the last two games on your own home court, I certainly think having the lottery ball that gets you Cooper Flagg feels a little bit better than that.
Clay Ferreiro from WPLG Local 10, thanks for the time. You'll be out there tonight for the game?
Yes, sir.
How many of you are going out there tonight? Like 7 of you?
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, at five, three people who will be on air, two photographers, and we'll be ready to rock.
Three on air, one outside, one inside, one at the mall. Like, where,
man, we're going to be wherever the story is. If they're partying at Sawgrass in the lots that they set up, then that's where we'll be, man.
Take care, my friend. I'll see you tonight.
All right, brother.
You guys know on this show I love talking about sports and travel and food, and one place I love to go, and I've been going there, I can't even count the years, maybe like 25, 30 years already, Joe's Stone Crab in Miami Beach. You may have seen my tweet the other night. The Panthers won, and Joe's Stone Crab lowered their price of fried chicken to $7.95. I saw this letter online from Steve Sawicz, the owner of Joe's Stone Crab. I said, uh-oh, anytime you see a letter signed by the owner at the bottom, it's usually not good. Steve joins us here on the show right now. Steve, you guys, if I read this correctly, the letter you wrote, you guys are lowering prices at Joe's Stone Crab. How did you come to that conclusion?
Hi. Thanks for having me on, Andy. I think it really wasn't a surprise for us, meaning, you know, for us to do it, my mom and I, you know, we've always talked about trying to give anybody could come to Joe's and from wherever and be able to afford to have a meal. And, you know, we're very sensitive to that. And also, you know, how can you have a restaurant where the employees themselves, the men and women who work in the kitchen, for instance, in the dishwasher, how could you have a restaurant where they couldn't even afford to buy something on the menu or a few things? You know, I just, in good conscience, we couldn't do it. And as we approached the summer season, we thought this would be a good time to, you know, do something a little striking, I think, which is lowering the price of chicken, which is already at a ridiculously low price. You know, it's a Bell and Evans free range chicken. It's a, you know, and you get a half a chicken for $7.95. That's easily shareable. And I know it's ridiculous at $8.95, you know, or $20.95, it's still normal, but it's at $7.95. And we also lowered, you know, rather than just doing that, which is our second biggest seller on the menu, is chicken.
Is it really?
Fried chicken.
No way.
It's number two after stone crabs.
So it goes stone crabs, which you guys are famous for, which I love getting plates and plates of. It goes from stone crabs to fried chicken just like that.
Just like that, and then Alaskan king crab after the fried chicken. Now, that's in the number of orders sold.
Right.
In dollars, king crab is much higher than chicken in dollars, you know, just because of the sheer price of them. But, you know, we did lower the price of large crabs, which is our bread and butter size. So the five claws are now at $69.95. They came down this season to $74.95. They started the season at $84.95. And we just felt that it was the right thing to do. You know, the traffic has cleared on the MacArthur and Alton Road a little bit, just a little bit, and 195. So now people from over in the mainland can get to us easier. And this is a tip of the hat and a shout out to the locals who really are the ones that are, you know, the people that matter the most to me when it comes to Joe's are the locals who've been supporting us, generations of locals for hundreds, you know, for 100 years.
Yeah, that's really amazing. Again, Steve Sawicz, the owner of Joe's Stone Crab, with us here on the Andy Slater Show. Of course, you guys in the audience know I talk about Joe's all the time because I'm there all the time. Now, you brought up a good point, and I'm glad you brought it up, the summer season. And I know things change during the summer season, but not in a bad way, in a good way. Not only the prices, but you guys also change up the menu a little bit. You change up the tablecloth, and it's kind of a more relaxed feeling. So is that what we're going to get again this summer season?
You're absolutely spot on, and you picked up on that. Our tablecloths changed to the checkered, the white and black mm-hmm. checkered tablecloths, which gives it a more relaxed feeling to the dining room. It's a little more open in the dining room, so it's not as compressed. And we added a new scallop dish, which I'm very excited about, and a sea bass dish that are wonderful chef just came up with in the last few weeks. You know, we've been experimenting in the kitchen with a lot of different things, and he came up with that. And they're all part of it. The branzino will be in papillote. That's a new dish as well. We love trying new things in the summer. So that might make it on the roster. It's kind of like preseason, if you will, for a sporting event.
Or like the Dolphins roster. You have all of these people, and then you got to cut it down. So do you, like, who gives you your ideas? Is it someone in the kitchen, like you said, hey, this might be good? And then are you the, I mean, I know you're higher than the general manager, but in a sense, are you like Stephen Ross of the Dolphins, where you're going to make that final decision on what goes on the menu?
Well, I think it's a pretty good idea if they run it by me a little bit. You know, I am open to any idea that they have, as long as it is signed, sealed, and delivered and costed out properly. And then we go through to see, you know, we go through to see if the menu item is consistent with who we are, and is the price a fair price, and will people like it? I mean, I have to love it. And that's really important. This new, we did a new cheesecake, which we rarely have on the menu, but we came up with this Basque style cheesecake with what's the flavor that's so common in Miami that we love so much?
Dulce de leche?
No, another one. It's fruity. I'll think of it in a second.
Okay.
You know, of course, when we hang up. You know, and that's what I think of.
There it is. A fruity cheesecake.
Right. No. Oh, come on. It's such a... Oh, pasta. I mean, pastelitos have it inside of it.
Guava. There you go. See?
I knew it. It is off the charts. I can't tell you how many cheesecakes we made to get this to where we liked it, which is... listen, if anybody... You know, behind the scenes, one of the coolest things you get to do is eat food and test food. Now, you better offset that with an exercise program or skip a few meals, because if you know, that would be a fun thing, Andy, if you wanted to come over and do some tastings with us.
Yeah, I would.
Anytime.
I would love to do. I mean, the scallops that you mentioned, I'm a huge scallops person. I love scallops. And I know you've had some scallop dishes in the past, but everything there is just so good, including when it comes to dessert. I know you're famous for key lime pie, but I've been telling people that the best ice cream is from Graters in Cincinnati, and that's what you guys still have, right?
Absolutely. We have, you know, I'm super fond of that company and the quality of their ice cream. Are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh.
It's
so
ridiculous.
Good.
I mean, I don't get paid to say this. I'm telling you, it is off the charts ice cream, and they make it in small batches. And, you know, Cincinnati's famous for that, and Skyline Chili, and their ice cream is ridiculous. We had an amazing customer who used to send me samples and six packs of Graters ice cream 25 years ago. Wow. And I used to order it all the time, the peppermint, especially between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And then I expanded to different sizes. Then Joe's picked up on it. Now Joe's serves it in the restaurant.
Well, I'm going to put in a request. I think they have this in September or October. It's a specialty. It's Elena's Blueberry Pie ice cream. You've had it before, but it's been years and years. And that flavor is the best ice cream I have had in my entire life. It has pieces of pie crust in the ice cream. I really hope you can bring that back.
You know what? I'll do it. And that's a commitment, but I really do need you for a taste test. Okay? Well,
I have the audio, so it's got to be a commitment now. I mean, I could just send you the audio every time I go if the ice cream's not there.
Oh my God, we're on the air.
I'm definitely down for the taste test. Now, one more question for you. Again, Steve Sawitz, the owner of Joe's Stone Crab, with us here on the Andy Slater Show. The big announcement, I saw it. Like, Steve didn't text me. He didn't say, hey, you know, can I come on the show? No, I texted him, and I showed him the tweet I'm sending out, because the Panthers beat the Leafs the other night. They're going to try to close it out tonight. They beat them. I said, that's huge. Plus, Joe's is lowering prices, so a lot of people can come on in. My thing, Steve, I've always said about restaurants, I love going to the same restaurants because they're so consistent. So as a restaurant owner, is that number one on your list where if somebody comes in, they have something great, the important part is they come in again and it tastes the exact same way?
You are not kidding. That is, to me, that is what consistency is, what quality is all about, what recipes and ingredients and cooking and serving, etc. Because if you're coming to Joe's, especially you who come in frequently, you have in your mind the way everything you like is supposed to taste. Mm-hmm. And we have to meet that. That is, you know, in the world, you know, in business and in physics, etc., is plagued by something called entropy. Every business, every person, we all fall victim to entropy, which means it's just this natural order from order to disorder. Well, that's the plague of consistency. So we have to fight entropy all the time to make sure that the that our product and our dish that we serve you is as consistent as possible.
You know, and I'll tell you what. I've been going there a long time, and I know you know your stuff, and you're good at what you do. And when you say that, there's been times, just like anybody's human, you know, there's times years ago where something the next time just wasn't the same, and you take it right off the menu, don't you? I mean, you're like, this is out of here.
If we're doing something wrong, yes, but we do tastings every day. But even then, you have to be on top of it. We have, you know, I go to the restaurant practically every day of the week, and there's usually a fork or a spoon in my hand at some point during the day. And again, you can, you know, you can follow, you can be with me. I tasted the New England clam chowder today.
Oh my gosh. Why did you have to, you know, the summer menu, I don't mean to cut you off. And I was only going to talk to you for 6 or 7 minutes, but I can talk to you about food all day long. You know your stuff. The New England clam chowder, I've been saying this for years and years, is the best New England clam chowder I've had in my entire life. It beats anything anywhere. My only wish, and I know you have it in the to-go side, I believe, all the time, I just wish you would have it on the menu all the time instead of the brown stuff.
Oh, so you're the one sending us those anonymous texts, those anonymous messages. Okay.
It's just word so good. Oh, my gosh. It's so good. It's so good. No, seriously, I don't know what messages you're talking about, but oh, my gosh. It is so,
I'm
so
only
good.
Kidding.
Yeah, well, I know you guys get reviews all the time, so it's so good, Steve. I mean, it's delicious. I can't wait. My mouth is watering. I'll be there soon. I'll come in for a taste test. It was good having you on the show. Thank you for everything you guys do for South Florida as well, and always have, and I'll see you very soon.
Thank you, Andy. Join a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Again, Steve Sawitz, the owner of Joe's Stone Crab, really, here on this Friday. I was only going to take 6 or 7 minutes, but you guys love food talk. The Panthers play tonight. We know that. And we've been talking about it. Food. Oh, we all got to eat. That New England clam chowder. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait. All right. That's all the time I got for this Friday afternoon. Let's hope the Panthers close it out tonight. Otherwise, I'll be joining you Monday after my trip to Toronto. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.